RadioArchives.com presents C.O. Jones, Skinners, by Fred Adams Jr. Read for you by Robert Scarlato. C.O. Jones, Skinners is one of the many audiobooks available from RadioArchives.com.
Chapter 1. Los Angeles, California, 1949. Look at it one more time. The black and white photo was getting shopworn, dog-eared at the corners from carrying it in his jacket, and palming it around to anybody who'd look at it. A nightclub shot reduced to pocket size. The couple was dressed to the nines, he in a pinstriped suit, and she in a low-cut white gown, and pretty well blitzed. An empty champagne bottle poked its punt out of an ice bucket, and martini glasses sat alongside. His tie was pulled down, and his dark pompadour was mussed. Her blonde coif was perfect, but her lipstick looked as if it were applied at arm's length by a spastic monkey. Sonny Mabro and his squeeze, up-and-coming actress Dottie Cole, 10 minutes after that picture was taken at the Romano Club, Sonny lost his cool and shot some drunken American legionnaire in town for a convention because the guy made a crack about Dottie's cleavage. Sonny didn't even get up from the table. Welcome to L.A. Beau Willis must have been crazy to put up bail for Sonny, but there was always the possibility that the bondsman would die before his time if he didn't. Sonny was a mid-ladder operator in the East L.A. dope trade, and his people closed ranks like any family with a bad kid. He was a dog, but he was their dog. Sonny was a no-show at his arraignment, and every cop, bounty hunter, and private eye wisely looked the other direction. Except C.O. Jones. The young kid behind the counter of Ernie's Liquors looked at everything but the picture, and Jones knew he had a live one. The kid was skinny with blonde hair and blue eyes, and a fading shiner under one of them. His fingers fumbled with his green necktie.
I don't know, mister. Maybe.
Jones grabbed the knot of the kid's tie with one hand, and the short end of it with the other, pulled him halfway over the counter, and yanked the knot halfway through the kid's Adam's apple. His eyes bulged. If Ernie was around, he didn't interfere.
Maybe, Jones said. I'll let you breathe again if you talk to me.
His voice never changed in volume or tone.
How about it?
The kid nodded a little faster than he might have otherwise, and Jones gave him some slack, but didn't let go of the tie.
Look, mister, he'll kill me if I rat him out.
And I'll kill you if you don't, Jones smiled.
Just tell me about him, and he won't trouble you anymore. Neither will I.
Okay,
the kid said.
Okay.
First things first, pal. What's your name?
Billy.
Billy what? There are a lot of guys named Billy in L.A. If I have to track you down, I need a last name.
Watkins,
the kid said.
Billy Watkins.
Now, Billy Watkins, tell me about Sonny Mabro.
He came in here a couple of days ago with two other guys. They loaded up on champagne, gin, bourbon, all top-shelf stuff. They started walking out without paying, and when I said something about it, they kicked the hell out of me. And he told me, I'm Sonny Mabro. I don't pay for anything. And when I snap my fingers, you jump. And from now on, I don't have to come in here. I call you, you deliver.
What's your boss say about this?
He doesn't know. He isn't here very much. I covered it out of my pay up to now, but I'm about out of money.
So you deliver. Where?
2 blocks away, a warehouse down the street, at La Sadia. I go to the side door, and they're waiting for me.
Jones let the tie go, and Billy slumped against the counter, rubbing his throat and gulping air, as if he were stocking up for another shortage.
I hope I don't have to come back here, Billy Watkins.